if you are able, for the reading of the word. Our scripture today comes from the book of Jonah, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning. For I knew that you were a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, Is it right for you to be angry? Then Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would become of the city. The Lord God appointed a bush and made it come up over Jonah to give shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the bush. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the bush so that it withered. When the sun rose, God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint and asked that he might die. He said, It is better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, Is it right for you to be angry about the bush? And he said, Yes, angry enough to die. Then the Lord said, You are concerned about the bush for which you did not labor and which you did not grow. It came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals? This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. This is our final week on the series about Jonah. And for a concluding message and for a concluding chapter, even all the way down to the concluding verse, this is a very strange way to wrap things up. It's very unsatisfying, especially if you think about last week. If you were here, you know that it seemed to all sort of come home. Nineveh repented. Jonah had had his moment where he repented from running to the Lord. Then he went to Nineveh. Nineveh repented. And then God changed his mind about what he was going to do to Nineveh. And so if the story had ended there, it would have been a nice, pleasant story about God's grace, his forgiveness, about the need for repentance. And of course, that is one of the central themes of the book. But remember, I told you, as short as Jonah is, four chapters, and all of those chapters are very short in themselves, it is packed full of information for us, of lessons for us. And so even after the story of God's grace and repentance and Nineveh turning to God, we have this weird chapter that closes the book where Jonah all of a sudden gets mad. He's irritated that the Ninevites are not going to die. And that seems like a very strange and unsatisfying way of ending the book. But we're going to talk about a few things that are happening with Jonah in this chapter. The first thing I want to talk about is his backtracking, or you can say backsliding. Remember, he was in the belly of the fish, and he came to praise God. And he was joyful to be part of God's plan once again. After his rebellion, he had his moment of repentance, and he praised God. And now here, all of a sudden, he's not happy when God has effectively used him. God has spoken to the Ninevites, and the Ninevites came around. So you could say Jonah was a success. But he's angry. Why? And that's what's at the heart of the matter with Jonah. We have to ask, why was Jonah irritated about this? Why did he run in the first place? Why did he refuse to go to Nineveh to begin with? Well, the Assyrians were a different country. They were a different breed of people altogether, and they were always at ends with the Hebrew people. They were another race. So to put it simply, you could say that Jonah's biggest problem was racism. Now, racism isn't something, it's something that people either really like to talk about or they really don't like to talk about. But it's something that I don't think anybody likes to be told about. So you're going to have to bear with me for a little while today. But this is what was at the heart of the matter for Jonah. These people that were different, he did not believe that they were deserving of God's mercy in the same way that he had received it. Jonah knew that God was a gracious God. He said this. He said, I knew you were a gracious God. I knew you were going to forgive them. That's why I didn't want to go. I didn't want to have anything to do with those people being forgiven and restored. That's a sad commentary on Jonah. If we think about what the church looks like in America, we think about the people who have been forgiven and restored by God. It's not confined to any one special class or social status or race or nationality. God extends that grace and that love to everyone. But yet, if you were to go into our churches and look, you would see that they are still very segregated. Not on purpose. It's almost kind of this voluntary, it just naturally happens. And I'm not saying that y'all need to run out and go join the AME church or anything like that. And I'm not saying to go into the Hispanic church and try to lure them away and into here. Nothing like that. But this is something that we really ought to ask ourselves. If the kingdom of God is so diverse and includes so many different people, why is it that we still, when we worship God and we serve God, we still tend to separate ourselves? It's a question definitely worth asking when we look at the church today. Now, aside from Jonah's backtracking, or his backsliding, however you want to put it, I also want to talk about Jonah's view. He leaves the city, he goes east, and he finds this place where he's going to watch what happens to Nineveh. Even though God has spared Nineveh, he said, there might be this chance that some fireworks are going to go down, and I'm going to watch it. And he gets up there and he gets ready to watch this great destruction fall on these people who really, according to Jonah, they're just not deserving of God's mercy. So he wants to watch the show. He wants to watch what happens. And before we point the finger too much at Jonah, we have to ask ourselves, do we do that same thing? And the truth is, I think all of us at some point in our lives get a little hint of satisfaction by watching someone we don't like being taken down a peg or two, don't we? Have you ever felt that? Someone that just rubbed you the wrong way and then they get humbled and you just kind of, yeah, they got what they deserved. And what is it about us that makes us that way? I don't know. But if you don't believe that we're all that way, all you've got to do is look at the way people act during football season. Football season started yesterday. And I told Claire, I'm making an attempt to be pleasant towards everyone this year and hoping that I won't cross paths with anybody who isn't the same way. But every year at football season, people get so wrapped up in their team and their victories that the other team, they're going to pull against as hard as they can, and they hope they lose all their games and their coach gets fired and they, you know, all these terrible things. And we wish that bad stuff on someone else just because they're different from our team or they're the rival or whatever. Why do we do that? I don't know, but we do. It comes natural to us. And of course, it came natural to Jonah as well. And maybe the reason why is because we like to think that God shows us mercy and God shows us grace because there's something special about us. We are all special in the eyes of God. We are all very unique. But the thing is, we like to think ourselves as a little bit more privileged than the non-churched folks or the non-saved people. For whatever reason, we have this thing about us that we want to think that even though we're saved by grace, maybe there's something about us that God really likes a little bit more, right? We know it's by grace that we're saved and not of works. So what is it that gives us that attitude of entitlement? What is it that makes us think that somehow we would deserve God's grace or forgiveness more than someone else? But yet people do this all the time. I told you when I started this series that I was a big fan of the short story genre. And one of my favorite writers in that genre is Flannery O'Connor. And she wrote this story called Revelation, which is about this woman, Miss Turpin. And Miss Turpin is just a despicable person. She sits there and she criticizes in her mind all these people that she sees. She's sitting in the hospital or in a waiting room at a doctor's office, and she's thinking, yeah, that person is white trash. I know them. I know their family. And she criticizes the black people. And she has all these like warped opinions of other people. But yet she keeps thanking God that she's not like them. Thank you, God, that you made me like this. And as she's sitting there in the waiting room, this one girl throws a book at her and tells her, go back to hell where you came from, you warthog. And Miss Turpin is so confused and taken aback, and she takes it as a sign from God. And she starts praying, why did you speak to me like that through that girl? Why did you call me a warthog? I'm not a hog. I'm one of the good ones. And so as she's praying this, the sky opens up and she sees a vision from God of all these people that she thinks are unworthy of a good existence. And they're all walking up to heaven together singing hallelujah. And in that moment she realizes that heaven is open up to all those people who she considers herself better than. Jonah had a case of the us and thems. He had this separation thing going on where he felt the Hebrew people were superior to this other race. And they weren't as deserving of God's grace as he was. Miss Turpin was the same way. But the reality is, God is a loving and forgiving and gracious God. And if he offers grace and forgiveness to one of us, he can offer it to all of us. And the final thing I want to talk about is Jonah's comfort. It wasn't enough for him just to get up there and watch what he was hoping would be the destruction of Nineveh, but he wanted to be real comfortable while he did it. And God, in his love and his mercy, he gave Jonah, even though he didn't deserve it, he gave Jonah this shady area to sit in. And it said Jonah was happy about that. But then when the bush died, what did Jonah do? Kill me now. It's better for me to die than to sit here without a bush over my head. Jonah was a little bit dramatic. He had taken for granted what God gave him, and then when that was taken away, he didn't want to keep going. Now compare that to when he was in the belly of the fish. Stinking, sliming, belly, and he's there and he praises God. And he gives God thanks. But then you get him up here on this hill with a shady bush over his head, and then that's taken away from him, and he pitches a little fit. And God says, you're worried about that bush. You see, everything that God gives us, he has given us. Everything good that we have comes from him. And I know we don't all have it great in life. We don't all live in the lap of luxury, but all of us are privileged in some sense, and in the fact that we're not in a third world country, we're not starving, we're not having to fight for our next meals. But yet you let some of those things that keep us comfortable be taken away from us and we get mad. Why is that? When there is so much more out there. There are people out there in need, people out there suffering, people who are oppressed. And yet we feel that for some reason we should be more privileged. We should be above that. And so Jonah had this little confrontation with God. And God says, you're worried about a bush. And I'm worried about all these people. An entire nation of people and their animals. The book of Jonah ends in very strange fashion. It ends with a question from God to Jonah. Anytime something ends with a question, it should really spawn us into deeper thought and meditation. Why didn't Jonah care about those people in Nineveh? Who is it in our lives that we don't care about as much as we probably should? Who is it that is difficult for us to love that maybe God is saying we need to try harder? You see, love is an act of the will. Anybody can love the people that love us first. Anybody can love the people that are just like us. But to love someone who is different, to love someone who maybe rubs us the wrong way or does things we don't like, that involves the will. And it's not optional. God didn't say love each other because it feels good and because you're naturally going to do it. He commanded us to love. That was the commandment Jesus gave us. And time again in his ministry, Jesus showed what that love to the other people looked like. the woman at the well, the story of the Good Samaritan. Jesus was always showing us what loving the other people, the difficult people, what it looked like. Now, if you have received a thank you card from my son Liam at any point, then you know that Star Wars is kind of a big deal in our house, because he puts Star Wars stickers all over those thank you cards. And I really try to refrain from using too many Star Wars references in the sermons. But I'm going to use one today because I think that it fits. Luke Skywalker was told that he had to go destroy Darth Vader. And Darth Vader was his father. And he said, I can't do that. There's still good in him. I know it. I can't go kill him. And he goes to confront Vader and in the battle. And I'm sorry if I'm spoiling this for you, but you've had 30 years to watch it. So. He goes to confront Darth Vader and he won't fight. And he says, I know there's good in you. And I want to bring you to the good side. And he almost dies doing it, but that's okay. He's willing to die because he is trying to bring his father back to the good side. Now, what does this have to do with anything? Is what you may be asking. It has everything to do with it. Because Jesus and his example of loving the people who are difficult, the people who nobody else wants to love, the people that everyone else says they should be destroyed, Jesus says, no, I'm going to do what I can to bring them over, even if it means dying to do it. You see, everyone on earth shares this in common. We are all part of God's creation. And just as a parent doesn't want to see two of their children fighting with each other, God doesn't want to see his people fighting with each other, especially over trivial things like status, race, or nationality. Thank God that in his presence, we're able to shed those barriers. And we're able to stand before him in unity, all of us as his children. Today we have the opportunity to come together at his table in unity, to join hands and share the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the common cup. So if you would please, turn to page 12 in your hymnals and read along responsibly. And I want to take this moment to remind you that this table here is not my table, it's not the church's table, it is God's table. And everyone is welcome to it, regardless of denomination, church membership status, or anything like that. We are all welcome at God's table because Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another.